Thank you for listening to the official podcast of White Oak Pentecostal Holiness Church, where we cultivate true worshipers in Wilson, North Carolina. For more information on White Oak, visit whiteoakphc.com.
Our minds are so wrapped up in things that are not of God. God is already handling this situation, and he's asked you to leave with him. But it's plaguing our minds so much that we don't even realize it's an issue. Saying, I hear God saying, worry. Worrying is a dangerous game. He said, I know that's hard not to worry. But when you worry, he said, you don't trust me. You can't worry and trust me. You can move that hole. You can move that hole. You can move that hole. You can move that off to, you can move that off. So I hear him saying, I need you to do something. It's going to happen spiritually, but I need you to do it physically. Move that off. Come on, keep saying it. You can move that off. You're going to do something in the natural that's going to transpire in the spiritual. You can move that off. You can move that over to, you can move that over, you can move that over, you can move that over, you can move that over. He said, I need you to take that thing, whatever that thing is that's had your focus, whether it be unforgiveness, whether it be unforgiveness, he won't let me leave that word. I need you to take it, and I need you to throw it. Do something in the natural that will happen in the spirit. Take it and throw it. Take it and throw it. Take it. Throw it. I don't care which way you throw it. I need you to throw it. I need you to move it out the way. If you don't do it, it's going to stay. I need you to move it out the way. Move that thing out the way. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. God is so good. He's so merciful and he's so kind and we're so spoiled. Oh, come on. As Pastor Spells would say, he's merciful, he's kind, he's loving, and you're spoiled. Oh, come on here. We are so taken care of, and we're so blessed. You live in a country where you get to come in and have church, and you can sit down all day if you want to. You ain't got to stand, right? Because the pews are comfortable, right? You can be comfortable. This is going to be an uncomfortable message. Let me precede this with a note. This is going to be an uncomfortable message. I apologize in advance. Don't hold it against me because I'm only speaking what he gives to me. Amen? So I know it's going to be uncomfortable, okay? We live in a country where we're blessed. We get to come in and we can sit all service if we want to. We don't even have to work if we don't want to. Amen. I'm not an usher. I ain't got to usher, right? I am not a musician. I ain't got to do that. I ain't a preacher. I ain't got to do that. If I am a preacher, I ain't got to do that when I want to. We get to do it as we please. There's nobody coming to us and saying, come here, RJ. There's nobody coming to us and saying, with the machete, saying, are you a Christian? Yes. It's a fake machete. He answered really fast. But there are countries where that happens. Where they take people and ask them, are you a Christian? And they're persecuted for being a Christian. They're martyred for saying, yes, I believe. But you don't have that issue. Oh, how blessed we are. We get to come in and worship freely. We have a beautiful sanctuary to worship in. Amen. Some of us even go to a church where the church is doing so much in the community, it funds our job. Amen. Integrity was the start of this church. Oh, how blessed you are. I hear God saying, and he didn't say it till I got up here. He did tell me this was going to be an uncomfortable message, but I just hear him saying, my people are spoiled. You don't realize how good you got it. And then we have the audacity. There's a movie that said, it popped in my head, the unmitigated gall. Tell me what movie that is later, Brandon. The Grinch. He said the unmitigated gall. We have the unmitigated gall. We have the audacity to come in and act like God hasn't done anything for us. Right. How dare you? A God that's been that good to you. How dare you have the audacity to come in and sit like I haven't blessed you. That job you prayed for. I took you out of the one you didn't want to be in, and I gave you this one that you asked for, and now you're unthankful? You asked me to bring you through this situation, and I did it. And you sit here. You half sing. You barely lift your hands as if I haven't blessed you. I'm sorry. I'm not yelling at you, but I gotta say it like he gives it to me. God said, you're too blessed of a people. There are people in his land that are still being persecuted. And you have all this free will. You got all this opportunity. And you would rather do nothing with it. You don't want to witness. You don't want to be a light. He said, what else do I got to do? You asked for that salary. I gave it to you. I don't. What else do I got to do to get you to serve me? To act like you want to be an usher. To act like you want to sing. Not to half do it. Why do it if you're going to half do it? You might as well sit down. If you can, there's a passage of scripture that talks about these priests bringing in these unclean animals, and it said one priest brought in one that was damaged and it was sick, and he tried to lay it on the bad side so they wouldn't see the sickness on that side, so he would lay good side up, so he tried to offer him a half sacrifice. So you aren't bringing in a lamb this morning, but you've sung on this morning, right? You've lifted your hands on this morning, if we did that. We've ushered on this morning, but he said, you've given me a half sacrifice. My God. Why do it if you're going to half do it? My God. One thing I love about my nephew, he don't always do it in school, but when he plays the drums, he plays it with everything he has every single Sunday. RJ, I want you to know that God is pleased with that. See, everybody's praise isn't the same. Everybody's praise isn't the same. But I can tell when RJ starts to feel it. The foot will go a little more. His face will crunch up a little bit. You know that face. And that's God's presence. I can't play the drums. But I do sing. And every time I sing, I want to give it everything I got. So I had a coworker who was here at the funeral for my Uncle Ed. And she came to me. I didn't know she was here. And she said, girl, you sing so hard. I didn't know you could sing. It was wonderful, but you sing so hard. I said, I got to. Why would I have to do it? If God, this ain't even the message, y'all, but this might be the message. If God came back right now, would he be pleased with the praise you just offered? Would he be pleased with your sacrifice? Or did you lay it all out there? Did I give him everything I had this morning? Or did I hold back? Because Elder Barnes hadn't started it. Sometimes we wait for a fire starter. My God. So, well, I don't want to be first one. God is like, what you waiting for? I've been so faithful to you. God is saying, I've been so faithful to you. You asked for that husband. I've been so faithful to you. I told Brandon when we got married, I had already told God what I wanted. I wanted a man that had a sense of humor. I wanted him to be saved, but I told the Lord I didn't want a preacher. Be honest with you. That's what I told him. Because I knew that sometimes I wasn't going to be feeling it. And I didn't need a word every time I wasn't feeling it. But I told God, I need him to be saved. I need him to love you more than he loves me. And then God, I told God, I need him to love his mama. Because a man that loves his mama can love his wife. And then I told God, this is true, y'all. I got this written in I can pull my journal right now from high school, and it's written down in my journal. I told God I wanted him to be respectful. To not just be respectful around his family, but to be respectful when no one was watching. Because if he can be respectful when no one is watching, then he can be respectful to me. I gave God this list of things that I wanted, knowing that God didn't have to. But he did. God's saying, I've been so faithful to you. And his question on this morning is, where is your faithfulness? That's your topic. Where is your faithfulness? Can you pray with me? God, we thank you for this brand new day you've allowed us to see. God, we ask before we move any further that you forgive us of anything that we might have said, thought, or done that was not pleasing in your sight. And God, as this vessel stands before you, we ask you to move self out the way. God, use this vessel. Speak through me, Lord. Allow me to say everything that you would have to say unto your people on today, God, and nothing more. God, I thank you for your word. God, help your people to have open hearts, open minds, and have their thoughts stayed on you. And God, when this word is delivered, allow them to hide it in their heart. So that God, when things get rough next week and the weeks to come, that we'll have your word to fall back on. God, we thank you for what you're doing, what you have planned for us. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. And I do give honor to God, who's the head of my life. I give honor to my pastor, Pastor Sherry Lucas. Amen. Happy belated birthday. Amen. I told her yesterday, but I'm saying it again. Give honor to my husband, who God has delivered. He told y'all he was going in for a surgery on his heart on last week. He had it this past Friday, and you see he's here on this morning. Amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? So I think I shed a couple of tears. But God had me to immediately dry it up. He said to me, don't you dare worry. What he told me. Don't you dare worry. He said, you already prayed. And if you worry,
You don't trust me. So I dried it up, Aunt Moselle. And I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. So the doctor told us, after she wheeled him back, that the procedure would be about 3 hours. She said, but once they go in, sometimes it can be hard to find where the issue is. She said, so if it goes longer, I'll give you a call. And I remember thinking in my mind, sorry, Brandon, I'm telling you a testimony. I remember thinking in my mind, well, Lord, yeah. I remember thinking, well, Lord, I don't want it to go over. So you got to help them find it. Because if it goes over 3 hours, you know me, I'm going to worry. So I sat there with his mom, his sister, his niece, my mom, his dad. For a while, did some homework, took my mind off of it. 2 hours passed. I looked up at the clock. I said, okay, Lord, we got about an hour. He went in at 7:30. And at about 10:25, 5 minutes to spare, I got a phone call saying, your husband did wonderful. We found it. It's been fixed. You can come back. And I remember immediately saying, thank you, Lord. I asked you for 3 hours. You gave me 2:55. He did it. He's been faithful. Amen. He's been faithful. Yes. How many times has he brought you out? How many times has he brought you through? Amen. This is a hard message. God has been faithful.
We're going to come from the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth. We're going to talk about a woman who was faithful. And how that faithfulness made her blessed. We're also going to talk about how Ruth was dependable. She was somebody who could be called on. And sometimes, you know, when preachers preach, Ruth is often talked about in, you know, women's conferences and, you know, we need an example woman to look to. But Ruth is an example, period. Because she was faithful. I want you to do me a favor. If you normally read your Bible on your phone, I need you to put it away and use the screen. Because God wants you to hear this message, and he doesn't want you to be distracted. Because I know I have so many notifications that pop up on my phone. I can be reading the scripture, and the next moment, I could be looking at ESPN. So, let's put away our phones, and let's use the monitor. Brandon, you have the Amplified version? Okay. We're going to read the Amplified version, and I'm going to try to cut this down just as much as I can. And I don't plan on being before you long. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He, his wife, and his two sons. This man's name was Elimelech. And his wife's name was Naomi. And his two sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem of Judah. They went to the country of Moab and continued there. All right, so Naomi, her husband, and her two sons are headed to Moab. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. So after Naomi's husband died, she was left with her two sons. They married Orpah and Ruth. They stayed in that country for about 10 years, excuse me. And then verse 5 says, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-laws to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she left the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and they started on the way back to Judah. So she's headed back to her home country. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, she thought about it. She said, you know, these aren't my children. They don't need to go back with me. They're from Moab. This is their country. Verse 8 says, but Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So she's saying, go back home. Go back home. Go with your mother. You've been wonderful. You've been kind for helping me through these moments. You've been here with my sons. Then they have died. You've been here with my husband. She's saying, go back home. I'm fine. Verse 9 says, the Lord grant that you may find home and rest, each of you, each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become your husbands? She said, Am I carrying a child that you can marry? He said, no, go back home. I don't have any more sons. She said, turn back, verse 12, my daughters, go. For I am too old to have a husband. Naomi said, I'm an old woman. And I'm not going to have no more kids. So you might well go on back home so you can find you a husband. You're a young woman. One more time. Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, you wouldn't. She's saying, even if I met a man tonight and married him, would you wait until if we got, she said, let me set it up. She said, If I married a man tonight, we did what married folks do. Got pregnant and had children within my 9 months. Would you wait to marry those sons if they were boys? She said, no, my daughters. It is far more bitter for me than for you that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Then they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. So Orpah said, you know what, Naomi? You're right. I'm a young woman, and you're not finna have no more kids. And even if you did, I'd be too old by then. So I'm gonna go back. But that verse continues, verse 14, it says, but Ruth clung to her. After all that Naomi had said, warning them, it said Ruth took all of that in and she clung to Naomi, which means she said, I'm not going nowhere. And Naomi said, verse 15, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Huh. You know, it's important to note that Naomi was a woman who believed. She was a believer. And Moabites, which is where Ruth and Orpah came from, they believed in other gods. So she had come into a family, Ruth and Orpah, had come into a family who now believed in the living God. And that God was going to send a savior. This was their belief. So I imagine at first, when they first got married, that this was a little different. And it took some time to get adjusted to. But I believe in those 10 or so years that they were together before those husbands died, Ruth and Orpah learned who God was. Scripture doesn't say all of that. But I believe in those years from going with Naomi to the temple to worship, I believe they learned who God was. And I believe they also learned why Naomi was blessed. Verse 16 says, after Ruth has told her that she's not going nowhere, and Naomi has tried to warn her again to go back to her people and her gods. Ruth says in verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I'm sorry, let me flip back to the Amplified version. And Ruth said, urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. So she's saying, Naomi, I know why you're blessed. So I want those blessings too. So I'm not going nowhere. Wherever you go, I'm going. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. And who you serve, I'll serve. See, because those gods we were serving back in Moab didn't do all this for us. They didn't keep us like you've been kept. Huh? Ruth is saying, Naomi, your husband and both your sons have died. What kind of woman are you to still be standing upright? You've been through all of this and you're still standing? Naomi, there's got to be something
I'm not doing. So wherever you go, I'm going. Where you stay, I'm going to stay there too. And who you serve, I'm going to serve him too. Because I want what you got. Verse 17 says, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also. If anything but death parts me from you. She's saying, Naomi, when you die, we will be in the same place. I'm not leaving you. Nothing but death will part this relationship. Who said, I'm going to be faithful to you. All of that, the going and the following and the lodging and the serving and all of that, wherever you die, I will die. All of that means I will be faithful to you. Verse 18 says, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said, no more. So she realized after a while, okay, she ain't going nowhere. I'm going to let her come. Can you skip down to chapter 2? And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth and the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. Naomi said to her, go, my daughter. And Ruth went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to stop at a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was set over the reapers? Whose maiden is this? That big field. You got to imagine, they said Boaz had money. Said he was a wealthy man. So you imagine the field was huge. And he could look out on the field amongst all those servants and the reapers, all them folks out there, and say, who is that? Huh? Yeah, somebody. What, you mean you can imagine the first time you saw your wife? Amen? Who is, wait a minute here now. Who is that? Huh? Where'd she come from? So Boaz is looking now. And he's trying to figure out who this girl is. Verse 6 says, and the servant set over the reapers answered, she is the Moabitish girl who come back with Naomi from the country of Moab. So they knew who she was, knew she came from Moab, and knew she had followed Naomi back to the land of Judah. Verse 7 says, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from early morning until now, except when she had rested a little in the house. So it says she went to the, she even asked for permission. She went to the man over the reapers and she said, please,
Can I just gather the grain after your men have gone through and picked what they want? Can I just gather what's left over? Can I get the remnants of what you've left behind? So it says she's been out here. He was filling Boaz in. He said she's been out here all day, from morning all the way up until now. Verse 8 says, then Boaz said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or lead this one, but stay here close by my maidens. Watch which field they reap and follow them. Have I not charged the young men not to molest you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels, drink what the young men have drawn. Boaz, a man who's never seen this woman before in his life, ever, noticed something different about her and wanted to protect her. He said, and he noticed, or he mentioned, that if you go somewhere else, there's a chance you might be molested. So stay here, follow after my maidens, and you'll be protected. Verse 10 says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? Why are you doing this, Boaz? And Boaz answered and said unto her, and this is the verse I want you to get, these next two. It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Let me read that one more time in the Amplified version. And Boaz said unto her, I have been made fully aware of all you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people unknown to you before. The Lord recompense you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So Boaz is saying, I know you've come here following Naomi. You've left your people, you left your mama, you left your daddy, you've left your homeland. And because of this, because you've helped my family, because you've been faithful to one of God's people, this is the least I can do. I'm going to take care of you. People of God, you know, there's this song that my dad despised. That one too. He didn't like sit down serving. He sure didn't. He also didn't like this song, Long As I Got King Jesus. I don't need nobody else. And you know, church folk, we were saying that, long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long, long, long. I don't need nobody else. We'll sing it hard. Sing it hard. And then go home and be upset why nobody don't call our phone. Why I went in the hospital, you ain't come see me. What's wrong with you? Say you ain't need nobody else. Remember long, long, long as I got King Jesus? We need people. We can't get along in this world without somebody. And let me tell you something. Sometimes we need people who aren't in our household. I love my husband with everything in me. I go to God, I talk to God, talk to my husband, but sometimes you need a friend. Sometimes you gotta have somebody else you can talk to. And that person, of course, RJ, you want to make sure that person is saved. You know why, RJ? Because if I tell anybody everything, they may use what I've said and go tell somebody else. But people of God, I want you to think, am I that person that someone can come to? Naomi needed somebody. Her strength was from God, most definitely. Most definitely, God held her up when her husband died. God held her up when her two sons died. But Naomi made it because of her daughter-in-law. Where's your faithfulness? Can your brother or your sister depend on you? Or do we say, not today. I'm busy. I don't have it. I can't. Love you, but no. Can I depend on you? Where's your faithfulness? You know, I'm going to read one more passage of scripture and I'm almost done. I want you to flip to Romans chapter 12. Because sometimes, you know, we get the misconception that because I love God, like, I love God. I love him. Right? And I love my family, right? I take care of my kids, my husband, wife. That I'm doing all that need to be done. What else can God ask of me? I love him. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my kids. I come to church, even if I don't do nothing. We're going to talk about it. What else can he ask of me? But God said, if you can't be faithful to the one you see every day, you see me all the time. If the one that sees you every day can't call on you, how can I expect you to be faithful to a God you've never seen before? We can't. We can't. If you can't be faithful to your sister or your brother, you can't be faithful to God. Where is your faithfulness? Your family needs you. And I'm not just talking about your household. When's the last time you did something for somebody that wasn't in your house? Ah, it's a tight message, I know. I know. God told me you're not going to get a whole lot of amen, so don't expect them. I've been so faithful to you. I just want you to help my people. I just want to see you help my people. You love me, right? Amen. You want to do my will, right? Amen. You call me a friend, right? Amen. Who calls you friend? Who else calls you friend? We can't be a friend to God and not a friend to our brother. Where is your faithfulness? Romans chapter 12. I love this passage of scripture, and we're going to skip around, but it talks about how we should conduct ourselves as Christians. This is Paul's message to the Romans. He realized they needed some help. And God realizes that we need some help on this morning. Amen. So he sent me to Romans chapter 12. Amen. Verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. Not a half sacrifice, amen? Did we talk about that earlier? Presenting all your members. That means every part of you. Huh? Your legs, your arms, hands, your mind, your feet, every single part of your body. Presenting all of that, saying, God, all of me is yours. Amen. And it says, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. Then it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fastened after and adapted to the external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So don't be conformed to this world. Don't gravitate to the things of this world. Tyler, it's easy to think that those things are what's right because everybody's doing it. It's easy to think when the mass majority of everyone is doing something, it's easy to think, well, that must be the right thing to do. Huh? Everybody else cuss, I might as well. I mean, like, everybody in my school. Right? That must be okay. The mass majority, but God said the way to him is narrow. I don't know if you ever been. There's a road in Wilson. It's called Narrow Way. That's a little street, ain't it? Can you fit a whole lot of people on that? Can you put two cars beside one another on that street? You can't. It's a one-way road. That's a tight road. It is a tight road. Narrow way. Huh? I want you to think about that. See, you can't even put two cars on that same road side by side. The way to him is narrow, which means you ain't going to see a whole lot of people. So if you're looking for a crowd, you probably won't find one. Huh? So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get a new attitude about yourself. So you can prove what's good and acceptable unto God. Skip down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, Paul is still telling the Romans how to conduct themselves. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag. I like this one. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Amen. So that means we ought to be ready to usher. We ought to be ready to sing. We ought to be ready to play the drums, play the keyboard, play the bass. We ought to be ready to lift our hands in worship. Be zealous. You ever seen, I've never seen, you think about somebody, it's a bad thing to imagine, but if you think about somebody that's on fire, that's burning, if I were on fire, would I be sitting here like this? I'm burning up. I'm burning. But God said, you told me that you love, you told me that you were ready to come in this house and praise God, and you came in and are you ready? I'm ready to sing this morning, God, and you came in and thought you were burning. Burning folks don't, they don't sit there calmly. That's the scripture. I ain't making nothing up. It said, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Amen. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Continue, last verse, continue to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessity of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. God's people take care of their own. God's people take care of their own. You can't tell me as my brother or my sister that you need me. Well, there's a point where we can take advantage. I get that. But you can't tell someone that you tell me you need me and I not be there. Your family ought to be able to count on you. You know, one of the reasons why my dad loved that word integrity, because he would say, well, all you got is your word. It's all you got. They ought to be able to take you at your word. You shouldn't, they I didn't have a long message on this morning, but I wanted to be obedient to God, and I wanted to share with you what he had on this morning. And I realized that, like I said, it wasn't a fun message, but it was a necessary message. Because people of God, our complacency will hurt us. Sometimes you've been praying for this one thing to happen, for this blessing, and you haven't gotten it because God said, you haven't been faithful. We can't be a sometimey Christian. Amen? We can't be sometimey to serve him when it benefits us. Huh? Well, I come to this church because they, you know, my job here. Or I come to this church because my mama went here. Where's your faithfulness? It's not enough to continue to come. God said, I need you to work. I need you to work. If you're a minister, be that. If you're a mother, be a mother. If you're a deacon, be a deacon. If you're a choir member, sing. He needs you to work. Where's your faithfulness? Can you stand? I want to pray with you. I first want to make say that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't have him in your heart, if you haven't accepted him, then this is a time where you can come. Never want to assume that all have it right. But we always want to give the opportunity to come to the Father. And sometimes we've come to the Father, but we stepped away. Like, well, I've done it before, but I kind of got away from who he was in my life. And you want to make that rededication. I want to rededicate my life. I want to say from now on, from this moment forward, with God's help, I'm going to serve him. And serving looks different for all of us. Not everybody's supposed to sing. Amen? Serving looks different for everybody. But you got to serve. Jesus served. Jesus washed feet. How are you serving? So if you want to rededicate, you want to say, well, God, I'm not where I should be, but I know where I want to be. So I want to make this stand on today. Then you can come. And if that's not you, that's okay. But I want to make one more proclamation. That if you realize, God, I haven't been faithful. I've accepted you as my Lord and Savior. I'm serving you, but I haven't been faithful to you. God, I need you to forgive me for my unfaithfulness. There's somebody, I don't want you to miss it, but if it's you, you need to come. I'm not saying it's just one, but there's somebody in particular. Your blessing is being blocked because of your unfaithfulness. So if you saying, God, I've been unfaithful, I haven't been there, I've chosen myself over my brother, it's not an easy thing to admit in front of people. But if that's you, I want you to come.
Once again, all of us here at White Oak, thank you for listening. God bless.